Hello again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, but the Lord has got me on another trail here, reading some of the literature that I've written, that he's written through me, some of them many years ago. And a lot of people have been saved from this literature, so it's very good if you listen in and you'll hear the words that God has given me to preach and teach to the world, because the Lord's coming back to earth again, and I reckon the Lord has called me to straighten people's thinking as to what the Word of God really means. There's so many people today that believe, they say they're Christians, and they are, but they've believed a lot of false doctrine, like, for instance, the crucifixion happened on Friday. This was Good Friday, but it tells that they say that it was on the Sabbath, but the Bible states that it was on the day of Sabbath is Friday and Saturday. That's the Jewish Sabbath, when the sun goes down on Friday, and when it goes down again on Saturday, the Sabbath is over. So it says on the day before the Sabbath, which would be Thursday if it were ordinary Sabbath, Jewish Sabbath. However, this was a double Sabbath because of the fact that it was the Passover. And Passover means that the Sabbath then would have been Thursday. So the day before that was Wednesday, and so that's when Christ was really crucified. The people in the United States did not write the Bible. We Jews did. And so Christ died on Wednesday, and so Thursday, Friday, Thursday, which was the Passover Sabbath, Friday, which was the regular Sabbath, and Saturday was 3 days and three nights, and in the morning on Sunday he rose from the dead. All right?
Yeah.
So if you study Jewish law, Sharon, can you come and explain that to them? Just a few words of that. She was raised Jewish. I wasn't, even though I'm a Hebrew, I was not raised Jewish. I was just left to run wild when I was a child, and I'm glad I was. But were bat mitzvah, weren't you? Or
yes.
Were you? Yes. So that bar mitzvah is when a man comes to the age of where they're supposed to know the Bible, and that bat mitzvah is the same for a woman. So go ahead and tell them about that Sabbath.
Of course, the Sabbath started the evening before. That's the beginning of that following day. And on the beginning of Passover...
Wait, what you're saying is kind of confusing. The Sabbath began on... the Bible talks about the day before the Sabbath is when he was crucified, all right?
Yes.
Amen. So that would be Wednesday, right?
Right.
Not Good Friday.
No.
It would be, if the Catholics wanted to get scriptural, they would call it... they still... I don't know why they call it Good Friday, but it would be ordinarily, if they knew the Bible, be Good Wednesday. Amen?
Amen.
And why would it be Wednesday rather than Friday when the Sabbath? Because Friday and Saturday is the Sabbath, right?
Right.
Okay, well then, go from there.
Thursday was the first day of the Passover, which is a high holiday.
That's
like a Sabbath.
That is like a Sabbath.
Right.
Shabbat, right?
Shabbat, right.
Shabbat.
Treated the same way, you don't work, and it's a special holiday. So, therefore, that was the Sabbath they're speaking of.
So it does say that it was the Passover, and it was the Passover Sabbath, and then it says the day before the Sabbath. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's Wednesday, folks. Okay? So you heard it here first at the Alamo. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's the thing. And then Jesus rose the next day after the Sabbath, which was the end of the Sabbath, was Saturday. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but people have really got that Next up, and the reason that I'm saying that is because a question came in in regarding that. So now you know the truth, and when you know the truth will set you free. Amen.
Amen.
Because there's so many people that can't figure that out. How could he have been in the grave, or in the heart of the earth, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, if he was crucified on Friday? Amen.
Amen.
Or for that matter, even Thursday. But now it's explained. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to really know Jewish law before you can understand the Bible correctly. Amen?
Amen.
You may think that there's discrepancies or contradictions in the Bible. But, you know, like I've searched the Bible now for 41 years, and there are no contradictions whatsoever. It doesn't make any difference what these people that are unlearned in the Bible say. It's the Bible does not contradict itself. Now, also you hear people saying, we are supposed to enjoy everyday life. The Lord wants us to enjoy our life. That's another false statement that you see. There's a lady named Joyce Myers, and she's still learning. So you shouldn't. She's a novice, I think. The Bible says we're to enjoy Christ's life. Amen?
Amen.
Not our life. Because our life is supposed to be dead. We're supposed to die out to the world and to our old life, and we're to enjoy the life of Christ. Because Christ is our death, and he's our resurrection. He's the good land. He's our food. He's our drink. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we have to enjoy that. And when you realize that that's what we must enjoy, is the life of Christ, then it doesn't make any difference how many trials and tribulations that we go through. We realize that we're not supposed to enjoy our life, or whatever the Lord allows us to go through. If we're enjoying the life of Christ, then we're enjoying his sufferings. Amen? Amen. As well as, you know, when he's around the brethren. But a lot of people complain, you know, they've got a miserable wife, and oh, what are they going to do? And they just feel like that. Friend, you need to enjoy Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Just enjoy him, because they, in comparison to Christ, don't matter. But Christ tells you to love your wife. Your wife, people, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Okay? A lot of people are going through all kinds of tribulations. For instance, I went to prison for the gospel on a charge that I didn't pay my income tax. Well, if everybody would realize that we were a 501c3 tax exempt organization at that time, and I realized that you know, that might not be the way to go. And if we would have owed taxes, I would have paid them. But, you know, so now they say you're an ex-con, because I did 4 years in prison for tax. They said it was tax fraud. They had people that they called in that were backsliders from my church that stated that they worked in the office, and they never did. The ones that really worked in the office never brought any of those accusations against me. But on the other hand, they were so afraid of the government that they wouldn't come in and testify on my behalf. But I enjoy Christ, and so no matter what I go through, I am still, I'm knowing that I'm in the body of Christ. He's my temple. I'm his temple that he lives in, and he's my temple that I live in, because we all have to be part of the temple of God, which is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it's a spiritual temple, and but we are physical where the Lord lives, and yet because he lives in us, we have become spiritual. And so we enjoy Christ no matter what trials and tribulations we're going through, no matter what people are saying about us. And that really frustrates them, because they think that they are going to be able to throw us out of the body of Christ by all the false accusations. But the Lord said that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall receive persecution. Now, there's some people that are accused of, and they go to prison for different other things. The Bible never condemns some of the things that people are going to prison for. I don't have enough time on this program to mention that. I could mention some of the things that they would say that is ungodly. But they say that if a person spanks their child, that they should go to prison for that. But God commands you to do that, you know, if they're unruly. And that's why we have so many people that have, we see so much crime in the world because people have never disciplined their children. And it's like Billy Graham's daughter. Now, Billy Graham is just like a sad case scenario because he states that he doesn't know if homosexuals are going to hell or adulterers and fornicators and so on. And there's another minister that said the same thing,
Joel Osteen.
My God, if you're a minister of the gospel, you should know that all sinners shall spend eternity in the lake of fire, and hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
And so this leads people to believe that if these are supposed to be giants in the spiritual realm, which I don't consider that they are, because if they're saying they don't know what the Bible says about sinners, that no sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven, well then what they're doing is they are ministers that are leading hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of people astray. And that's why after people cannot judge, they can't know how to judge if a minister is telling the truth or not unless they read the Bible, unless they know what the Bible says. And that's why they'll condemn people, and that God is leading. He's actually telling them to do certain things. If your child is out fornicating or wants to fornicate, you're supposed to spank him. And if you don't, you're going to be condemned to hell because you're worse than an infidel. The Bible says that a man is supposed to love his children, and love is the keeping of God's commandments. And you're supposed to love your wife, and you're supposed to tell him what the right thing is to do. And there's so few people today that will do that. And a lot of people are condemning people for doing what the Lord has told them to do that is absolutely scriptural. That's absolutely scriptural. So, people can judge, but they judge with their own judgment. Get the scripture. Where was that scripture at that we just read? Can you tell me, please, so that it doesn't make people think that I don't have people here that are intelligent? Jeannie, can you tell me what the scripture was?
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Give it to me, please. And what were the verses that we first read? Verse 4. And where is it? What book?
1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
11 through, you said 14?
Okay, go ahead.
Even unto this present
hour. Okay, here's the Apostle Paul saying, even to this present hour, what?
We both hunger and thirst.
But he says that he enjoys Christ, amen?
Amen.
That he rejoices even when they're persecuted and they were beaten. These disciples used to just praise and thank the Lord because they thought it was a wonderful thing, a glorious thing, to be partaking in the same things that Christ went through. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't see very many people that are in, they say they are Christians, that have happy looks on their faces no matter what they're going through. But do you ever see me frown too much?
No
matter what I'm going through?
Amen.
And there's a lot of things that hit every day. There's a whole ream of people that say all the government itself, the entire world government, itself is saying all kinds of evil things about me, and then they have a bunch of backsliders that say all sorts of things that are false. And some of the things that they say that they condemn me for is the things that I'm doing that are scriptural, absolutely scripture, and that were told for me to do by the Lord himself. And so I rejoice that God has told me. I said, Lord, you told me to do these things, and so I'm rejoicing in that I'm doing. And I see that the people are so far gone that they are judging me with their own carnal, worldly judgment instead of judging me according to your word. But of course the Lord says, well, how can they judge you by my word, because they don't know the word? And that's why I'm saying, read the word so that you don't judge me wrong. But you know, one thing that I'm saying that Billy Graham is wrong for saying that, but his daughter, I was rejoicing for things that she was saying. What does anybody remember her name?
Ann Graham.
Ann Graham. Because we had a thing here that she was saying. I don't want to read the first part, but just start off where she started talking. Listen to this. She ought to be up there preaching rather than Billy, because Billy hasn't learned the Bible yet. Billy, if you're listening, sinners go to hell. Okay, so don't be afraid to do that. You'll lose popularity with the world, and the world won't persecute you because you're not offensive to them. You're telling all sinners that you don't know whether they're going to hell or not. I'll be the whipping boy. I'll be the one that'll take the flack, Billy. But it will be good for you, as old as you are and as sick as you are, to start telling the truth as the Bible tells it. If you say you're not a judge, God is, and God is the Word. The Bible says Jesus is the Word, and people that believe in Jesus believe the Word because Jesus is the Word of God. The Word came to the world and became flesh and walked among us, humanity. And so to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved means that you believe on the whole Word of God. Now, Billy, I want you to go to heaven, all right? And I want Joel to go to heaven. You gentlemen look like nice people, and you've really are leading a lot of people to hell by your telling them the things that you're saying. If you haven't read that in the Bible and you need to know where the scriptures are, call me and I'll show you where they're at in the Bible, okay? Is that fair? Huh?
Yes.
Don't you think I'm being fair with Billy and Joel?
Yes.
All right. Because maybe they don't know. And I'm not saying this out of hatred. I hate that you're leading people astray. All right? Everything that I'm doing is the things that the Lord told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if you're judging me that that's wrong, well, let me tell you something. You're wrong, because I wouldn't go to hell for something that that is against God, because I've paid a price 41 years now, and I've been through a lot of things, and people accuse me of being in the ministry for money. I own a Beatles album, and I won't sell it just to show people that I'm in the ministry to win souls, not to have a good time or to enjoy my life, because my life is on the altar. I've become a pile of ashes before the Lord. I enjoy the life of Christ because he keeps me strong when I've seen many people fold up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when this preacher, what's his name, that went to prison, he was all in a...
Jim Baker.
I just cringed when I saw a picture of him weeping on the cover, and they had him, two officers had him picked up, and his legs were curled underneath his buttocks, and he just looked like he was going through the fires of hell, and he was weeping. And to me, I said, I just can't understand that. If he knew that he was in the Lord, and knew that you know, that the Lord never did that, or crawled under a couch in his attorney's office weeping and things like this just because he was going to prison or something. I just made it my point to, whenever the cameras were on me, is to give him a big smile. And at the time I was a little overweight and I sucked my gut in. You know, that's the way I feel. She said, "What are you laughing about? I get it, okay. All right, then what?" So let's hear what Ann Graham says. I just love what she says here. Go ahead.
Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on The Early Show, and Jane Clayson asked her, quote, "How could God let something like this happen," unquote, regarding Katrina.
Yeah, how could God? Read the Bible. See, they don't know. She should really point them to the scriptures that says that he's going to curse the earth with all sorts of plagues. But anyway, what she said was a million times better than what her daddy said. Go ahead.
Ann Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, quote, "I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are."
But the word really should be angered. Angered that he... that's what God says, that he has his cup of wrath is filled up to the brim. And he's saddened that they didn't, maybe he would be saddened that they didn't repent, because the Bible does say that a man was saddened and he walked away because he couldn't give up the world. And these people can't give up their sin. And the reason for it is because the preacher's saying, well, we don't know if sinners are going to hell, but let me tell you, I'm a real preacher, and God sent me, and God saved my soul, and I'm telling you that real sinners will go to hell. I wouldn't be preaching to not sin if I were sinning, because then I'd be a hypocrite, and I'd go to hell anyway. Amen?
Amen.
But the people that are judging me don't know the Bible. They don't know the Word, and no matter what you say, I hear the things that you're accusing me of, and if I were doing them, the things that you're accusing me are scriptural. Amen?
Amen.
Very scriptural. All right? There's no condemnation on anything that you say I am doing. All right? Then what else? But there's a lot of things that you're saying that I am not doing. Absolutely not doing at all. All right? Then what?
"But for years we've been telling God to get out of our schools.
Yeah, that's what you people out in the world are doing, is telling people, get out of our lives, get out of our schools, get out of the all the different walks of our life. So if it were Satan that were pouring out his wrath on the earth, well, you told God, get out of your lives. So then all of a sudden you say, oh, God, help us. No, you told him to get out of your lives. Amen?
Amen.
I got a letter here from a guy out in TV, radio land. He says, I'm sick and tired of hearing there, or something to that effect, of people, these preachers that have honey around their mouth. Amen? Do we have that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to read that today?
Yes.
Okay, good. Keep going.
"To get out of our government and to get out of our lives."
No, read the sentence again.
Okay.
They're telling God to get out of their government, get out of our lives. That's what you folks out in the world are telling God to do. God, you offend us. The name of Jesus offends us. Oh, I see. Okay, then what?
"For years we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out."
Well, see, gentlemen, God isn't backing out on anything. He's allowing these things and causing these things to happen. That's wrong, too, but it's still better than what Billy says. He's saying he doesn't, these curses are not coming from the Lord, and the Joel Osteen says the same thing. They are coming from the Lord. You should read the Bible. Read the book of Revelation and see of all the things that God is going to pour out on this world because of your sinfulness. All right? And not only on earth, but on you can see the sicknesses, diseases, the infirmities that people have, and all the other different viruses that people say, that these scientists say and these pharmaceutical agencies say that they have no serum for. and it's going to strike some of you down. So you need to repent, and if you do, then you'll be immune from these things. Okay, then continue on.
How can we expect God to give us His blessing and His protection if we demand He leave us alone?
Yeah, because people are not even asking God, God bless America. You don't want blessings, that's why you're getting the cursings. It's because you don't believe God really exists. But if you read the Bible, you'd see all the prophecies of the things that are happening today are happening. And the things that the Lord said would happen have happened. And the things that He says are shortly going to happen are shortly going to happen. The things that you've seen happening in your area or on television are nothing in compared to what He's really going to start doing. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the real truth. She's touching a little bit on a little truth here and there, but it's a lot better than what Billy and Joel did. Okay, let me hear.
In light of recent events, terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hara...
Madeline Murray O'Hara. Gosh, you are young. You don't know her name. She was one of the most foremost people on television years ago. You see, I'm 71 years old, and I know how to pronounce her name. Madeline Murray O'Hara. Okay, then what else?
I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hara, she was murdered, her body found recently, complained she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. Then someone said...
You said okay, I didn't. Okay, then what else?
Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself.
And also the Vatican is now saying that the Bible and also evolution are one and the same. That is the most cursed thing. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for the hierarchy in that organization at all, because they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a website that there was a person that has some kind of inward knowledge of what the last words of the Pope were, John Paul II, and he said it to this new one, Ratzinger. They says, Tony Alamo is the most dangerous force to the Catholic, he said church, but it's a cult. Amen?
Amen.
He said he has cut us in half and then quartered us after that. And that's on the website somewhere. Okay, and so this was from a reliable source. Well, I told you before that they had said that over 20-some years ago. And I'm telling you, it's only the only way that I've been able to do that is through the Scriptures. And that's why people that are involved in that organization and don't want to get out of it is because they don't know the Bible. If they knew they were in Satan's cult, if they could, their spiritual eyes could open up, if they just read the Bible so their spiritual eyes could open up, they would. A lot of those people would just run out of that place instead of walk. Amen?
Amen.
They'd flee. Then what?
Then Dr. Benjamin Spock said we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped.
Yeah, but the Lord says to beat your child betimes, because the person that doesn't spank their children, but the word the Bible uses beat, and they tell you, you're the worst criminal on the face of the earth if you spank your kids. But children do have to be disciplined, and the Lord said, of course, people don't believe in the Lord, and that's why they can't. They're trying to crack people's skulls open and pull their brain out and think that they're going to find something in their brain that makes them kill their children or go and shoot their school chums and then kill themselves. It isn't the brain. It's a spiritual thing. They're not going to see Satan in there, or if a godly person dies, you're not going to see the Spirit of God in there, because the things that are spiritual are invisible. You can't see them. And this is not something that is a medical thing that you're going to find. And it just really grieves me to see these supposed to be doctors and analysts and so on. And they have these real astute-looking faces, you know, like they're really going to find something out by going through their brains, their carnal brains. The Lord says, put on the mind of Christ. If that were a carnal operation, well, then you wouldn't be able to put the brain of Christ on, because his brain is the Word of God. It means to put the Word of God in there so that you don't do something wrong that will cause your soul to go to hell, like committing suicide. You know, if they ask me, does a person go to hell if they commit suicide? Yes, unless they were ignorant to the fact. And I know that there was a girl that was in our church one time, and her mother pulled her out of the church, and she wanted to keep going to the church. And her mother beat her horribly, and she committed suicide. She shot herself in the head because she couldn't stand what her mother was doing to her, and she loved the Lord. But she didn't know enough of the Word of God to know not to commit suicide. If she would have known that, I suppose she would have never done it. I would assume that she wouldn't, because you go right straight into hell. So no matter what, she wasn't enjoying Christ, because she wasn't enjoying her life, because her life wasn't dead yet. If her life was dead to the things of what the flesh wants you to do, and you're enjoying Christ, no matter what you're going to go through, you're going to be happy. You're going to have a smile on your face. So at this time, we could be naked and hungry and thirsty and buffeted and in prison and being led before a firing squad, or you know, you could be your arms amputated or other parts of your body, still, if you've got Christ, you're enjoying him, and you're going to just bite the bullet and go through it. You're going to just hang on to the Spirit, the Word of God, to know that there is when you die, and if you're going to die then, well, that you're going to a much better place. And if they cut your arms and legs off and pluck your eyes out of your head or whatever, you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. That's what I call enjoying Christ. I enjoy that no matter what people do to me or what anybody says to me, it doesn't make any difference, because they don't matter. Not between God and myself, okay? They don't. The Lord wants me to try to win their soul, and the way you do that is not what you say so much, it's how you live the Lord's life through you. Amen?
Amen?
How you conduct yourself in the Lord, if you're happy and if you're enjoying being a Christian. I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy whatever the Lord puts me through, because it shows a lot of people a good example. They see Christ in me. All right, now let's read a little bit more. But in the second reading through this, I'm glad, considering that she said hot after all. Okay, go ahead.
We might damage their self-esteem. Dr. Spock's son committed suicide.
Right, so, you know, he was wrong, right? Then what else?
We said an expert should know what he's talking about, and we said, okay. Now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates, and themselves.
Because they don't know the Bible. They don't know that what sin is. Nobody's teaching what sin is. And Billy says, I don't know if these kids are going to go to hell for shooting their schoolmates. In other words, kids, go ahead and shoot your schoolmates, all right? That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you kids, you know, if you're out there fornicating and the school is giving you rubbers and birth control pills, you know. I don't know if you're going to hell. Billy, you're telling people to go to hell. You're teaching them that they should do those things, because you're saying there's no condemnation to those that walk in sin. When the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that do what?
Walk not after the flesh.
That don't sin. And they say, are you perfect? If you're walking in the Spirit, you are perfect. If you're walking in the Spirit, the Word of God is Spirit and life. If you're walking according to the Word of God, you're perfect. Okay? Doesn't make any difference what the world says about you, what backsliders. They're not perfect. They wouldn't keep the commandments over here anyway. They wanted to take narcotics and drugs. They wanted to commit fornication in the church. And so they were put out. And definitely they're disgruntled. And there's a lot of them that don't want to know what the Bible says. So there's a lot of people that are jealous also because of the fact that God blesses you. There's a lot of false accusers. Even Job, the only righteous man on the face of this earth, had three people that were supposedly his friends that were accusing him of every ungodly thing under the earth, and he was the only righteous man on earth. Okay, so if somebody, the more righteous you are, the harder Satan is going to hit you. All right? So go ahead some more.
Probably if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal with, quote, we reap what we sow, unquote.
That's right. That's part of the Bible, but this is not that strong, so I'd like to get into some strong things. So let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint the rest of this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your outward anointing, which is the anointing for the ministry. You've already poured it out on this particular piece of literature that you gave me, Lord, but continue and with the commentary, if you want me to add more commentary. And Lord, anoint the reading of these letters that we have here so that the church will be lifted up and put on higher ground, and also that the souls out in the world will hear this and feel the presence of your Spirit and know that they're hearing the truth. Lord, that they might be saved, that the world will come unto you so that they can be part of the spiritual realm, the spiritual world, which is really right here. The kingdom of heaven, folks, is right here. And you can be part of the spiritual kingdom of heaven if you'll just receive the Lord by asking him to enter into your soul, to wash all your former sins away, cleanse them, and let them do the walk in the righteous spirit of the Lord, which is the Word of God, so that they can become righteous. Lord, I hate the false doctrine that Jack Van Impe is preaching, that because Christ is righteous, if we just believe in the Word, Jesus Christ, that we are saved. That is so false, it's unbelievable. And he admits that he's a Catholic. I mean, this is just, Father, so horrible. Lord, open the eyes and the ears of the world and the church to hear the truth. Those that have an ear, a spiritual ear, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the churches are those of us that are in you as the temple, and that we are the temple of God. There's not going to be any temple built in Jerusalem and Satan sit down into it. The temple of God is us, and Satan is entering into so many people that call themselves Christians that it has now become the great falling away, which is one of the last signs that the Apostle Paul said would happen just before Christ comes back to earth again. The Lord does not live in man-made temples. He lives in us. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that you don't belong to yourself, because God made you out of the dirt of the ground, and you belong to him because he paid the price for your salvation so that you could have the power within you. He paid the price with his life and his blood so that you could, by accepting him, could have him live inside your body, his temple, and that you'd have the power to keep all the commandments and also have the power to walk in the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the things, the rudiments of this world, the rudiments of their flesh, the lust of their flesh, And that's why the Lord says, but they walk after the Spirit, because the Spirit enters into them and gives them the power to keep the commandments. And this is the message that Satan is hating so much. And there's a whole new crop of people that just keep rising up and are trying to put God's people in prison or put them in coffins. And woe be unto those that partake in this. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask that you save the souls and lift up the church in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go into the letters now.
This is a witnessing line response from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Anthony called from Milwaukee and said that since his wife told him about your radio program, he has been listening to it every morning when he gets up from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. He said that your show is very interesting, wonderful, and a very good show. He said that he has listened to all the other shows like Pastor Peterson and Dave Smith, and he's tired of listening to people with honey around their mouth, and really likes the way you tell it like it is, especially concerning Bush. He said that he believes and loves everything you say, and it's wonderful to have men like you on the air. He wanted to call and let you know, and to also request CDs or tapes of your broadcasts, and to be put on the mail list.
Okay, make sure he gets everything that he's asked for, and I thank and praise the Lord for those that are listening to the broadcast all over the world. All right, then next.
Next one's from Tarkwa, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I am very glad and I will always give thanks to God for introducing your Christian ministries to me. I am saying this because a friend of mine gave me your newsletter, and after reading the scriptures, I got to know that there is a true God for man to worship. My whole being has been transformed, and I have really given my entire life to God. I am now a happy man on my own because the devil was ruling my life and things were terrible for me.
See, he's enjoying Christ, not his life. His whole life he was like miserable. But now he's enjoying the life of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you need, all right? Okay, what else?
But after I read your newsletter and consulted a Christian friend who then introduced me to his church, I have seen that the Lord we serve is great. Pastor, may God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Pastor, may God bless you and your Christian crusaders. Pastor, your ministry is winning more souls for Christ, and as a result of this, I want you to send me some of the Alamo Christian Ministries newsletters to distribute to people whose lives have been stolen by the devil, to transmit their lives to God. Please, Pastor, try to send me 3 Holy Bibles for myself and for my friends. Thank you, and may God bless you. Yours faithfully, Gilbert from Tarkwa, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, praise the Lord. You know, there's some people that have such a morbid look on their face. The more they hear the gospel, the more morbid they get. And that goes to show that they're not enjoying the life of Christ. Then what?
Next letter's from Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High. I was privileged to be given copies of your literature, the World Newsletters, Our Actual Innocence Does Not Matter to Rome, Troubles, Mass Suicide, and the 88-page book The Messiah from a friend who normally receives from yourself. Upon reading those literatures, I am very much blessed to see that the truth is being revealed through your messages, and in the real world today, the quote, real man, unquote, is the person who can stand the sufferings and trials he is comforted with, he is confronted with, like Christ did from the beginning of his trials to the moment of his crucifixion.
Right, you can go through it and enjoy it. Okay? Why do you enjoy it? Because you know you're saved and you know you've got the power of God. There's no way that you could go through the stuff that people try to do to you if you didn't have life, spiritual life, eternal life, the life of Christ. And that's why I enjoy the life of Christ. That's what I mean. But some people that are earthly, ungodly, fleshy, satanic, can't figure out how people can go through the things that they do. Just like before I was saved, when I'd drive down the streets of New York City, I'd see these people from the Salvation Army. They looked like they were raggedy and that they And I'd see them go down into a basement someplace, and they'd be out ringing that bell on the streets, begging for money to put in the pot, you know. And then I'd see them out there blowing a trumpet. They had a little band out there and a bass drum, and I was all wondering, you know, God, I'm driving to Chili's or Basin Street East, Copacabana, or someplace down in the village to hear jazz music and everything. I says, those poor, pitiful people are never going to drive in an Eldorado Brougham Brits. They're never going to be able to eat, you know, high on the hog like I'm eating, you know, over at all the different nice places. When I went to Hollywood to eat at the Captain's Table on La Cienega Boulevard, the House of Murphy, Romanoff's, all the best places. And then I know what life is all about. And here I was dead as a doornail, and they were alive. And when the Lord visited me in that office, I realized, I thought they were so stupid. I realized that I was the stupid one and that they were the smart ones. And they were actually enjoying Christ's life. They had a smile on their face and everything. Now, Salvation Army has become nothing more than like a thrift store, and they actually are halfway houses and stuff. You don't hear much gospel from them, but that really was a wonderful organization at one time, because they were really enjoying Christ, and they didn't rely on people spending money to support, or they weren't getting any government aid from for taking prisoners that were out on parole, or running a halfway house, or to have these different places to sell junk at junk stores. But that's just so sad that you see things that way. But much of that organization has fallen away now. And I just pray that those people will get back to the Lord. Maybe many of them are. I'm not I'm just judging outwardly what I see outwardly happening there. It is, it's not of the Lord for sure. Okay, go ahead.
However, having much interest in reading your messages, I am now in a position to order the following literatures mentioned in the paper with the headings Troubles by Tony Alamo, Signs of the Times, Dry Bones, The Servant of the Lord, God's Two Witnesses, Heavyweights, Difficulty Mountains, The Looking Glass, The Bottomless Pit, Broken to Pieces, Melting Cold Hearts, Flying Saucers, Our End Time Prophecy, and Biting the Bullet, and 10 Bibles. I am not sure how many copies you normally send for each literature. However, I would leave that for you to decide. Looking forward to you to receiving more literatures from your Christian ministry, as I remain yours in the Lord's service, Brown from Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Praise the Lord. Well, this person is a definite person that really wants to distribute the literature, so get it out to him. Another reason that I know the Salvation Army is not of the Lord is because when I was in London, England, there were three of the old Salvation theaters, the huge buildings, and it looked like a beautiful stage, and they were old, and it looked like an old English theaters. And I went through them, and there was like living facilities all through. It was huge, like a whole city block, and I wanted to buy them. But they said, okay, you can buy them, but you have to become part of the New World Order. You have to become part of the Salvation Army would sell to me if I become part of the One World Church, which is headed by the Vatican, the Antichrist. And I said, you know, as nostalgic as these buildings are and how much I'd like to have, and I believe I could win a lot of souls here, you take your buildings and you know where to go with them, all right? Okay, so much for that. All right, now let's get into part three of how the Antichrist government is running not only the media, but has their cult. The Antichrist cult from Rome runs the world government and the world media. That's their mouth. How they very skillfully exalt Catholicism, and they have a list of people that are cults. Now, I don't call these preachers cults. I call them totally unscriptural, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, but the Vatican has always, down through centuries, murdered people that are not part of that cult. And it's really sad that people believe that it's all right to murder people that don't believe the way you do. What we're supposed to do is convert people. If they were really of the Lord, they'd want to convert them with the gospel. But they don't know the gospel, and they condemn the Bible and say that evolution is just as good. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, folks. Okay, let's start reading where these Roman Antichrist agents in the United States here and all over the world, they're claiming in the United States here to be U.S. government agents, and they're not. They are agents, Roman-trained agents to take over. They're actually enemies in our own country against the citizens. But more than the citizens, there are against, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-the Word of God, which is God, anti-Christians. And they're the most dangerous, just like Abe Lincoln and this millions of people that have been involved with that cult have stated that it's the Antichrist for sure. The Bible says so. All right, let's go ahead and continue.
Peeler.
Okay, now what was the question before that? You don't explain where you're reading.
He was talking about, okay, when I'm talking to the BBC guy, is right.
There was a BBC person that came to his house to interview him, and so now Peeler is, John Peeler, a former FBI, BATF, undercover agent, and part of the DEA and the IRS undercover agent who has since repented and is just spilling the beans on all these government agencies, stating that they were paid, that they were trying to hire him to kill me, to assassinate me, and he knows all the people that went down to Waco and killed them. And he said that they said to go down there, that they wanted to go down there to just murder. They did not go to arrest David Koresh or his people. They went there to slaughter him. And he said they called it a turkey shoot. And he refused. He was, I think, down there, but he refused to have me assassinated. And because of that, they put his son in prison. So that's an update on this piece of literature here. If you listen to the tapes before this, you can order those tapes, all the ones that have to do with this John Peeler piece of literature. All you have to do is call our, or write it up on our website. And the website is?
AlamoMinistries.com.
Okay. All right, so let's continue on. Now, this man from the BBC came to interview him, and he said what?
But anyway, there's all these government conspiracies. The name of the tape that they did, the BBC, John Sargent is the one that made this up. It's called The Secret Rulers of the World, The New World Order. The 30-minute movie made for TV for British Channel 4, the largest channel in the world, but to my knowledge, they did not show this 30-minute tape or movie in the United States because the United States media is very controlled by the Roman Catholic government, even the media right here in Arkansas. You can't get anything done without the government knowing about it and trying to put the stops to it. My son is 100% innocent. None of the media wants to jump on his case because the government just totally framed him because of me and to try to get me to shut up and to quit telling people like you about what they're really doing. Is there anything I can do to help your organization, or can you write or do something to help my son out? I want you to tell Pastor Lomo right now to be as careful as he can because the government might even assassinate him over this article that he did. For example, they have someone who's real good at fixing your car. This is one of the deals they did a long time ago on a person I knew. They went and put a big screwdriver inside the tubeless tire of the car, and this guy had a Corvette and drove it really fast. He was going around the curve. The screwdriver came through the tire, and he rolled off a curb and killed himself. There's stuff they can put in your drink, like, for example, Castro. They tried to get people to send them down there to put LSD and different mind-altering drugs in his drinks, or ice cream, or whatever. Just tell Tony Alamo, after this article he did, where he's 100% on the mark, and where it shows the government and the special agents for doing what they're doing is totally corrupt and outrageous, that he needs to be extremely careful, because the United States government, which is thoroughly controlled by the Vatican Roman Catholic cult church, unquote church, has killed people for less. Don, you know what they hate is exactly what Pastor Lomo has done in his last piece of literature. It's to be exposed. Keeler, you're 100% right. It's just like when you turn a light on. The roaches in the room go and hide under the furniture and things because in the light they're afraid something's going to happen to them.
This is an analogy that I also have used many times. Then what?
The government is the same thing, but when they're afraid, that's when they're the most dangerous. The government, like I said, they've had a targeted list. The list is verbal. They don't publish it. They just tell you the names of the people, and every list that's ever come out that I've talked to them when I was undercover, whenever they called me on my pager or cell phone. But I went on a regular basis and met them at different locations and different parking lots, bridges, and different places. And every time they read a list off of people that they really wanted, he, Tony Alamo, has been on nearly every list that they've told me about of people that they're interested in and would like me to target, assassinate, get to know, get into, and frame. And one of the things they do now is one of the guys I know named Gregory Holt, I don't know where he is now, I think the feds put him in jail for something, because he went around trying to expose the feds and write notices and letters about what they're doing and stuff. Gregory Holt, the government got him on some bogus charges and stuff, this guy I know, and what they did, they wanted him to do to Tony Alamo too. But the way they wanted him to do it is they wanted him to get in with a Tony Alamo mission and to put child pornography on Tony Alamo's computer. You see what I'm saying? To try to discredit him with child pornography. But I mean, that's one of the easiest things to do nowadays. I've never done that. I'm an old guy. I'm 54 and I'm not into computers. But I'm saying he's a younger guy and into computers. But some of these people that they want him to do deals on, they want him to get into their home computers and stuff and put child pornography in their computers. But anyway, my warning to Pastor Lomo was that the government works in mysterious ways. Quote, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, unquote. Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. And one of the techniques they can use is pretend that Pastor Lomo is on a list, which he is on the list. I know for a fact because I have talked to people. I've talked to some of the IRS agents that busted him, and they told me that he was definitely framed up and on the list of people to do. Years ago, when I was with the government, they wanted me to bust him on a firearm charge. And when I was in Elma, Arkansas, they were passing out circulars that said that they had no firearms or carnal weapons in their compound, and that included they did not have any BB guns, pellet guns, or water pistols.
No, we don't have anything like that. Well, I see that our time is up now, so this piece of literature is going to be continued on the next broadcast, so don't fail to miss it, because this has to do with you. If the government gets on your case, they could do the same thing. And there are many people in the government, I'm not saying that everybody in the government is bad, because there's a lot of people in government that don't believe even these things that this undercover agent is saying here. But nevertheless, these things do exist, and there's so much documentation on it that it's unbelievable. So anyway, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're going to be talking to you tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. God bless you till then, and praise the Lord. Amen.